The one, which will come up on the screen. I'm just going to read verses 16 to 25. If you're using a hard copy of the Bible, the Church Bible, it's page 290. And the series that we're looking at the moment through the year is Handing on the Eternal Flame, and we're particularly focusing in on prayer and spirituality. And today we're thinking about turning and change. And I'm going to pick up James's letter from verse 16. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect present comes from heaven. It comes down from God, the creator of the heavenly lights, who does not change or cause darkness by turning. By his own will, he brought us into being through the word of truth, so that we should have first place among all his creatures. Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone must be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to become angry. Rather, what Lola was just praying for the nations of the Middle East, particularly Israel. Human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. Do not deceive yourselves, but by just listening to his word, instead put it into practice. Whoever listens to the word but does not put it into practice is like a man who looks in a mirror and sees himself as he is. He takes a good look at himself and then goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But those who look closely into the perfect law that sets people free, who keep on paying attention to it and do not simply listen and then forget it, but put it into practice, they will be blessed by God in what they do. Okay, and there'll be a PowerPoint as we go through, hopefully for you to follow the key points. And then it's our custom to respond, and that is going to be by way of listening today to some music. So whenever we're listening to God's word, we're seeking not just to look in the mirror and then go away unchanged. We're actually looking into the mirror and we're turning and being different. So our theme today is actually turning and change. As we think about prayer and spirituality, I just want to recap a tiny bit. Way back, people asked Jesus to teach them to pray. The nation of Israel, though it had followed God for thousands of years, their spirituality, their prayer, by and large, had become rather like this, towards the temple, almost towards a brick wall in some ways, although there were, of course, people who were devout, there were, of course, people who were spirit-filled. But the disciples said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And we ourselves need this sort of recognition that we have got so much to learn about prayer and spirituality. Now, spirituality is actually a term that loads of people use today, and we certainly found that as people came in to the building, they wanted to be very clear, as many of us would, that we're not particularly concerned about being religious, but we want to have spirituality, to be spiritual beings. But of course, because it's used by many people, it's used differently. And just to say that the way in which I'm using the term spirituality is actually to work on the basis that Christian spirituality is concerned with maintaining and growing a relationship with God, and actually saying who that God is, that God is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not just God as we have made him or variously described him. So when we're talking about spirituality, we're talking about this relationship that we have with God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the New Testament doesn't just focus in on the individual's relationship with God. The New Testament is very clear that it is about the relationship of people within community, the people of God, with God. So we can't develop spirituality just in isolation. It has to be in fellowship with other Christians. Spirituality is not just ethereal and vapor-like and out there somewhere. It's very practical. Spirituality is to do, yes, with understanding God and knowing God, yes, to do with prayer, but also with practical mission and outreach. And if we are not involved in mission and outreach to our families, to our friends, to our colleagues, then our spirituality will really not be a balanced spirituality. This is as is unfolded in the pages of Scripture, where we see thousands of years of people understanding what God is concerned about. In our prayer, Christian prayer is distinctive. Many, many people pray, and that's great. And I've been greeting neighbours this morning, Eid Mubarak. It's the end of Ramadan. It's the time of Eid. And we've talked with many of them about prayer and fasting. Muslims have come into this building and wanting to pray through Ramadan. And we have many things in common with those people, and many things that are distinctively different. But we have a bridge by which we can make contact and talk together. Christian prayer is to the Father, our Father. It's in the name of Jesus, which is distinctive and important, and it's in the Spirit. And of course, what we've all been taught, maybe recently or maybe from way back, is that prayer is to do with relationship, and therefore it's to do with listening as well as speaking. And right away we know that we have a lot to hear. Two-way communication. Okay, today we are thinking about turning and about changing and our relationship with God. Anyone who seeks to know God must be willing to begin a life of turning and change. And if we're here today in worship, then I'm sure that we are concerned to seek to know God better, to develop our relationship. So we need to be prepared to turn. We need to be prepared to change. As I begin to encounter God, I will not stay the same. Jesus' call to those who are open to listen is, follow me. Couldn't be clearer than that. And included within this, if we read Matthew 4, is the command to change our minds. And to have such a change of mind that our behaviour actually changes. And to change our mind because he has come into the world. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that word, metanoia, means to change. To change our mind and therefore to change our action. And it's to do with moral reflection and change. It's to do with behaviour, changing for the better. Willing to begin a life of change and turning, and to continue that life. And that is what our ongoing life is all about. Knowing God, being changed, turning away. In fact, in a way, it actually means reorientating to face the light. And I'd like us to hold that in our mind, to make sure that we are always turning towards the light, the moral light, and the light that will guide us into the future. Because we encounter God, the change happens. And so when we talk about prayer and spirituality, we're talking about having our minds changed and our actions changed. And that really is what we should expect. Prayer is not just going to God with a shopping list and asking God. Although there will be many times when we ask God and we just stretch out our hands to God and ask him to fill us, to enable us, to help our families, to help our friends and so on. But it is actually me, you, or together coming into the presence of God and expecting to be changed. So it's not so much about changing God's mind, but about my mind being changed because I meet with the living God through Jesus. And that's possible, isn't it? You've experienced that. That is possible. And when prayer sinks to the level of just asking desperate prayers, it's usually because we are desperate and tired and burnt out, and it's been a long time in coming. Our prayers are to do with not just seeking to change God's mind, but seeking to discover what his mind is, and for my own mind and life to be changed by that. And so it's going to involve a bit of time, isn't it? And some things that my mind needs to change on will be very, very deep rooted. They will be laid down over decades of upbringing and culture, and they will take a long time to change. Other things are more shallow. There are ideas that have been sown into our minds through advertising and other things, ideas we've picked up from friends which are not true, and so on. But it will take time. And in this passage in James, we see James using the picture of a mirror. And it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? But it says, basically, if you encounter God's word, whether that's the living Lord Jesus as revealed in Scripture or just even by the Bible, if you read that, if you look into that and are unchanged, then you're like a person that looks in the mirror and doesn't do something about what they see. And James uses this picture to tell us of a God who is totally full of light, if you read verse 17. And the word turning here that's used is about the planets in orbit. And we know that there's a dark side to the moon and things like this. And what this is basically saying, in God there is no dark side. There's no shadow of turning. God is absolutely full of light. And so we can rely on that fact. But we ourselves need to change our minds to reorientate towards the light, and therefore, of course, away from those things which are morally dark, which are destructive to us. If you look in the wing mirror of a car, and I've just driven a hire car this week in Scotland, have very clever wing mirrors. You had to remember to ping them out, or you went to look in the wing mirror and it was still folded in. A mirror's amazing because you can look at a picture of yourself, laterally inverted, of course. You can look, if you look in the vestibule at the new mirror, and see that there's more light brought into the vestibule. And if you look in a car wing mirror, you can see what's behind you, what's coming up, and actually change course accordingly. You can do some reflective thinking. And that's also what we can do in the Bible, to look and to see what is coming, the situation that we're in. James reminds us that we all live within the context of God's good and perfect gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. In other words, in the world in which we live, there is much goodness. We don't live in an unspoiled Eden. There is sin, there is fallenness, there is brokenness, there is damage, which is in a phenomenal amount. We cannot even assess, really. We don't even like to think about the full extent of it. We're not in an unspoiled Eden, but we're in a world which shows much of God's goodness. But we need to get real about the world in which we live. We need to get real about the evil and the moral darkness. We need to be aware of that, and that we can easily be contaminated by that, and that we need to take decisive action. So the process of praying and looking into God's mirror, meeting Jesus, as is in Scripture, is incredibly important. And actually coming to the point where we're willing to submit to God, to accept God's diagnosis of the situation as it is. It says that God plants his words in our heart to grow and to take root. And many times God has given you words from himself or spoken to you through a particular scripture. And that needs to be given time to grow and to bear fruit, what God has said. God will have challenged you, as he's challenged me, about attitudes in your life that needs changing, about behaviour in your lives that needs changing, about having more boldness and more clarity in what you say at work, more love, more ability to listen to other people. God will have spoken to you about these things. And he's waiting for you to actually accept that word and act upon it, and in his strength, do something about it. All right? And we need to encourage one another in that. Addy does that by his PowerPoints that come out each day. He's trying to encourage us, I reckon, to listen to God's word, to obey it, to follow his disciples. Is that fair, Addy? You know, you do it in other ways. We need to encourage one another in that. We really need to listen and to be changed. Some of us have been Christians for a long time, some for a short time. But God will still be changing us. And here's some practical examples James gives in this passage. The way we use our tongue in speech. Most of us still admit that we have not got full control of what we say. There are times when things burst out in a destructive, waspish, unhelpful way. The way we treat the poor and the marginalised, but also the wealthy, is spoken about in this passage. The actions we take, how we talk to other people, whether we're able to lift them up. What about Jesus speaking about turning the other cheek and not seeking revenge in Matthew's gospel? We need to reflect on our lives, the world, and what's going on in the world and circumstances in the mirror of God's word. And there needs to be a turning away from that which is dark and a reorientating to going in the way of the light. That is how we develop our spirituality, our relationship with God. That is what we can do to encourage one another. There's an amazing passage in Ecclesiastes 3. Some of you will know it very well. Some of you will be old enough to have heard it sung, not just by the birds and Simon and Garfunkel and people like that. Everything that happens in this world, says the philosopher, happens in the time God chooses. He sees the time for birth, the time for death, the time for planting, the time for pulling up, the time for killing and the time for healing, the time for tearing down and the time for building. He sets the time for sorrow and the time for joy, the time for mourning and the time for dancing, the time for making love and the time for not making love, the time for kissing and the time for not kissing. He sets the time for finding and the time for losing, the time for saving and the time for throwing away, the time for tearing and the time for mending, the time for silence and the time to talk. He sets the time for love, the time for hate, the time for war, and the time for peace. What do we gain from all our work? The philosopher, maybe Solomon, who knows, reflects on the changing seasons of life, the frustrations of simply living and working. But he clings onto the knowledge that in it all, God gives hope. Many have used this chapter to write songs and different poetry. To every season, turn and turn and turn. What the songwriter has been saying in Ecclesiastes and the others is, the seasons turn, the planets turn, and you are going to need to respond to what happens in life. And you and I need to be able to respond to the moral changes that are happening in the world. You and I need to respond to the circumstances that happen in our family. You and I need to respond to what is happening in this community. We've had to respond to the Olympics. We will respond to the Paralympics. We need to give a response. We need to turn and turn and turn as the seasons turn. There is a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to gather stones, a time to scatter stones. This is what the philosopher in the Old Testament is saying. So in our prayers, we need to come to God through all the changing seasons. Why? Can I ask the obvious? Do you take time before you make a major decision in your life to pray about it? Whether it's moving, seeking a new job, how to use the money that you have, and so on. We need to respond, to live through these seasons of change. The things we hear in the news, how do we pray? Now, some people cannot cope with the change. They cannot respond effectively. And in some ways, in London and major cities, perhaps that's on the increase. It is just such a fast pace. There are so many things that are happening. But I would suggest that as Christians, we can respond if we go to God in all these changing, these turn and turn and turn, because that will continue to happen. Surely, you know, as the earth and other planets are in orbit, so the seasons change, so the circumstances will change. We've never been here before as the church, have we? We've never had to work out a response to genetic engineering and other major issues that are facing us. We need to be able to respond. We need to be able to respond to massive people movements throughout the earth. We need to be able to respond to a planet in decay, which we have, to a large extent, caused. So we need to be able to respond morally and personally, and to advise our families, if we're older, as they come to us. We need to be able to give a response. And so we need to go to God for wisdom on those issues, because we're needing to make moral choices to new situations, to act as God's people should. So encountering God in our daily life is incredibly important, not just for the survival of us and our families and our own relationship with God, but in knowing how to respond. And the psalmist has said that encountering God and God's living word gives me a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. It enables me to walk in the darkness. So as I develop spiritually, as I'm involved in prayer, then I find a means by walking in this darkness. Also, the exhortation to us as a church was to be ready. Psalm 110, verse 3, to be ready in the day of God's power, to be ready to volunteer, to be ready and relevant. We're not concerned about change for change's sake, but we need to be willing to change everything to share the message of Jesus. There will be the need for new wineskins, for new wine, and we need to be prepared to change everything so that we may be God's people in this day and generation, because we do not just exist for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. It's a deep, deep challenge. And so this relationship with God. I have to admit that God's timing is very hard, isn't it, to understand. It isn't easy. One example of this, I was talking to Sharon yesterday. As you know, Sharon, following her long spell in hospital, is pretty much bound to her flat, but is praying with us, and we were talking about meeting and praying and this. And we talked about her disappointment that her family came from South Africa. They got as far as Ireland to see friends there and were not able to get tickets to come to London. So Rosemary had keyed me in, so I was ready to talk to Sharon about her disappointments. But then she said, oh, no, that's all right. So at the moment she's reached a point, she said, one thing I've learned is God's timing is right. Now, she may be disappointed. She may not know. She may not see the sense in that. But just her trust and her acceptance that God can work that through. Changing circumstances, changing moralities, some for the better live. We're not condemning everything, are we? Some changes are good, aren't they? If they're for justice, we want to affirm those. But some may not be. We need a light to live by. We will have to make decisions, and that needs to be within the context of our relationship. So to summarise what I'm asking you to think about today, coming to Jesus is turning into the light. As we come in prayer, as we come with God's word in our hearts, not just even in our hands, God puts his words into our hearts. Being ready and expecting God to challenge us to change our minds. Looking in the mirror, turning around and going into the world as a changed person. Some of the people who followed Jesus turned back. When you read that in the Gospels, it's just a sentence. It's very, very painful to read it. It was when his teaching became deeper and cutting more into the places where it hurt in people's lives, we're told that some turned back. Paul's letter to Timothy, those who turned back. The question really is whether we're going to keep turning and facing into the light. You know, we're not constantly spinning around changing our minds all the time, are we? It's just when we begin to find ourselves straying into the darkness, making bad choices, finding that we are not in God's presence. Indeed, there are times to stand our ground on various moral points and not to shift. There are times when we cannot turn. Don't particularly like giving this quote. I won't give it in context, but there was one British Prime Minister who said, "The lady's not for turning. You turn if you want to." Well, there are times for U-turns, and many times when we change by small degrees. Corinthians tends to suggest that we are changed by small degrees. As we contemplate Jesus openly with unveiled faces, we are changed. Prayer and reflection on God's word, Jesus as revealed in Scripture, will reorientate us, will bring us back to the light. Summer, to me, is a wonderful time, even if it's a weird English summer like we've had. Very strange. But it's quite a dangerous time. This summer, we've really had the focus of the Olympics to be thinking about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And people have asked us that quite literally. Why are you doing what you're doing? And we've been explaining that. But it's also possibly a drifting time. And we need, wherever we are, whatever circumstances we're in, to be coming back to the light, coming into the presence of Jesus, being ready to be reorientated, changed, refocused. And not to let things drift and drift, and then we need a major change. We suddenly find, where is my relationship with the Lord? It's madness. We need to spend time with the Lord so that we might be of use in our world. And quite simply, because the Lord is waiting for us. I started the service by saying, there is a guest here who's arrived before us. He is waiting for us. He is here. And that is what worship is. We are coming because God is here and at work in the world. He's waiting to spend time with us. He's waiting to help us. And we, through Jesus, have that living relationship for which we really want to thank God.